Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Tuesday, May 31st. I'm your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, Prime Minister Skerrett says disaster response is too costly for the state. Threat of ISIS attack on schools in Trinidad making the rounds. And Islamic State group hits back as Iraqi army moves into Fallujah. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. The details coming up.
Beat the Clock is back at Courts. 3 days only, Saturday, May 28th to Tuesday, May 31st. Take advantage of our amazing offers. Shop from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. and pick your own discount on selected items. Shop from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and get 20% off selected items on cash or credit purchases. Shop from 3 p.m. until it's BOGO. Yes, buy any item and get a second of equal or lesser value at half price from a selected list. Hurry on down to Courts and beat the clock. 3 days only. Saturday, May 28th to Tuesday, May 31st. Conditions apply. See in-store for details. Courts, bringing value home.
I need a fast cash to get me started because I want to get ahead in life. When times get rough, you don't have to be tough. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash.
Get the cash advance you need.
Fast cash.
In just 2 hours.
Fast cash.
Up to $8,000 can be yours.
Fast cash. I need fast cash to get me started, cause I wanna get ahead in life. No matter what the problem, fast cash can solve it. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash!
Fast cash! Your money, your way!
Dominica, as the Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett says, citizens are indifferent in regards to the challenges being faced by his administration. The Prime Minister made the remarks at a recent meeting by the National Emergency and Planning Organization, NEPO. Skerrett says disaster response is too costly for the state, and the money is being spent to rebuild the country post-Tropical Storm Erica could be used in other areas of the country's economy. The Prime Minister says despite all that is being done, persons have no mercy for the government, as they are still receiving requests for all sorts of things.
The response to disasters, damage done by disaster, is too expensive for us. It's too costly for the state, you know, because monies now that we're using to repair roads that we just recently constructed and building homes, you know, this is money we could spend in other areas of the economy. And notwithstanding the challenges faced by central government, people have no mercy in the central government. They're still sending requests to us every single day for all sorts of things. You know, whether you're in the private sector or civil society or residents and so forth, people don't say, well, let me give the government some time to build homes for 37 people and then I'll ask them. People are indifferent to this thing. You see what I'm saying? And all of the burdens are placed at the feet of the government. And with a time when resources are not as plentiful as they were before, in light of the international global financial crisis, it can be a challenge to respond to disasters.
Meanwhile, the Prime Minister says the NEPO office is critical to the state's well-being. As such, he has given the assurance that his government will work closely with the ODM to ensure the smooth operations of the organization. Skerrett says legislation will be put in place to better assist the ODM with its day-to-day functions.
Rest assured, we shall take the executive action to allow you to be treated like the commissions and the... Because you gave the IPO always independence of spending money and so forth. So why can't we do the same thing to the ODM that is so critical to the well-being of the state? So whatever legislative action we have to take, I'm giving it from commitment by the government. I'm sure the cabinet will ratify my commitment there. So we get a commitment. So we need to get the paperwork moving much faster and get things going.
The scandals continue as new Commonwealth Secretary General is once again surrounded by controversy. A new article published in the UK's Daily Mail implicates Baroness Patricia Scotland in a row over abuse of the UK honours system. According to the article, Anthony Bailey, along with two others, obtained the honour from Antigua in 2014, which he is now abusing to masquerade as a knight in the UK, insisting on being called Sir in the United Kingdom. His actions have angered Buckingham Buckingham Palace, who has ordered him to stop giving the impression of being a British knight. Among those successfully duped are Prince Charles and David Cameron, who wrongly refer to him as Sir Anthony. Bailey receives the honor following a $1.1 million investment in schools and church programs from a charity of which both he and the Baroness were senior members. The Baroness denied any involvement in the granting of a knighthood to Anthony Bailey. Meanwhile, Antigua's Prime Minister Gaston Browne confirmed that the knighthood awarded to Bailey is now under review, with the disgraceful possibility of having his knighthood withdrawn by Antigua. This is not the first time Scotland has made controversial headlines in the UK, having been linked to vile despots after her appointment as Secretary General, and in 2009 for employing an illegal immigrant, breaking immigration laws that she had helped draft. Information Technology Minister Kelvin Daru has dismissed claims that the government is not doing anything for the youth on Ireland. Daru represented Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett at the 43rd Annual Youth Skills Training Programme graduation ceremony, which was held last week. He says the cadre of young people graduating from the program is a testament that government has and continues to contribute towards the development of the country's youth. Daru says government has invested millions of dollars into training and preparing the youth of the country for future employment. He urged the graduates to utilize and maximize what they have taught or learned to the best of their ability.
The skills training program in any country is of utmost importance. And when people say that the government is not doing anything for young people, this afternoon is an indication of a serious investment that the government of Dominica has made and continues to make in the lives of our young people. Because here this afternoon, we are seeing well over 190 young men and women graduating with various skill sets that you can now go back into your various communities and make a meaningful contribution towards the development of your country. And that is important, because once you have achieved the skill, no one can take that skill away from you. The onus and the responsibility is yours to ensure that you utilize that skill, that you maximize that skill to the best of your ability, to make the most out of what you have gained, and to ensure that you can have some profitable means from the skill that you've acquired. So over the last 3-4 months, that you attended the training programs, that you attended sessions, you now have to put these into practical use and to ensure that at the end of the day, you can improve and grow from one step from where you left off.
The issue of derelict vehicles around the city of Roseau continues to be a problem for the Roseau City Council. Mayor of Roseau, Irene John, says this continues to pose a challenge for health officials, especially with mosquito-borne viruses, most recently Zika, plaguing the country. The mayor says officials need to work with the police force to deal with this problem. John says she does not think the Roseau City Council will get very far in ridding the city of these vehicles without the assistance of the police. The mayor says wayside mechanics also contributes to pollution in the city.
You know, those wayside mechanics, and it's too many of them. Every day you see a new one. You know, that is causing a very big problem. They fix their vehicles, they leave all their garbage on the ground, they leave all the oil bottles and all the oil from the engine and from the is on the road, and that too is another type of problem that we have to look into. Because and so many derelict vehicles on the side of the road, some of them were removed some time ago, but there are some in Goodill. I have been talking about it all the time, and the owners seem not to be at all perturbed, you know, and that is a very, very big problem, because in those vehicles, you throw garbage and all type of stuff, and then you have a Zika problem, you know. That too is another challenge. That is another challenge. And I figure we have to work with the police vigorously to deal with that problem, because without the help of the police, I don't think we will get too far. They too must put their heads together with us to see how we can tackle that situation, because it is serious.
General Manager of Domlec, Batilio McKenzie, gives reasons for the increase in electricity sales for the year 2015, a growth of over 4% for the company. McKenzie says that the shift in strategy in 2015 regarding Domlec's functions were necessary and has evidently benefited the company greatly. Domlec made a profit of EC $12.29 million for the year 2015.
The general manager of Domlek, Bertilia McKenzie, has attributed dedication by staff as a factor which contributed to another successful financial year for the company. Domlek recorded profits of $12.29 million for 2015, with sale of electricity having grown by over 4%.
It was due to increased sales and the fact that we have been focusing during the year on service excellence, operational excellence, world-class safety, and business growth. And so our employees have embraced those strategic themes and have worked hard and long hours to make this happen. You see our linemen all over, and you saw them particularly after Erica in your communities restoring your power supply. And so at this time, I must highlight the performance of my staff. They've done well, and they continue to do well. They continue to surpass expectations. Additionally, there were six positions that were to be filled in terms of director positions. We have eight SAM directors on the board, and six had to be filled. Four from Imera, and two of the positions which are nominated by Dominica Social Security. You know that Dominica Social Security has 20% of Domlek shares, and so these positions were filled. Five of the directors were kept on, and one position was filled by someone who is new to our board. So the position for the Dominica Social Security, one of the positions was filled by Mr. Martin Charles, and the other position by Ms. Frederica James.
And developer of Jungle Bay Resort and Spa, Sam Raphael, is urging members of the public to develop a zero tolerance towards crime here. Raphael, who will soon commence construction of the new Jungle Bay at Monokuma in Sufria, told residents there that crime plays a major role in the failure of the tourism industry. Speaking to a recent $1.8 million jewelry heist at Jewelers International, Raphael said, "If this is the way Dominica is going, we are all in serious trouble. We need to be a crime-free society," he told the Sufria residents.
Breaking news, armed robbery at Jewel International Courtyard. Let's be serious about this, people.
That's right.
If this is the way Dominica is going, we are all in serious trouble. The police can do what they can to try to catch, but we need to get to the young people before, and we need as a community to be a crime-free community. Unless we have that zero tolerance for crime, we're in trouble. Don't depend on the police, that's after the fact. If it's one thing I want us to be mindful of, because now is the age of social media, in Jamaica you go to a resort, sandal, and you incite sandal in the fence all the time. You don't go, except when the bus take you back to the airport, so they keep you safe in there. They are not coming to Dominica for that. They're coming to hide by the Kubali. So we cannot afford to have this type of, some people say, crime and development go hand in hand. Development that happened in Dominica cannot have crime with it. We need to have development without crime, and until we can find that, we're in trouble.
In more news this afternoon, with yet another voice note warning of terrorist attacks in Trinidad and Tobago, this time in the Twin Island Republic schools, Education Minister Anthony Garcia is urging teachers and students not to panic, describing the person responsible for the latest audio recording as someone with a deranged mind. Last week, police were investigating two audio recordings in which two men claimed that shopping malls would be attacked between last Thursday and Sunday. Police received a call on Thursday from someone who said that something would happen at the Trin City Mall. That prompted an evacuation of the shopping center, but the green light was subsequently given for business to resume, and the alleged hoax caller was arrested within hours. Then on Friday, a recording of a man claiming that terror group ISIS plans to blow up schools began circulating on social media. And militants from the so-called Islamic State have launched a dawn counterattack as Iraqi government troops push into the city of Fallujah. A day after troops advanced through the southern suburb, scores of ISIS fighters attacked them, army officers told news agencies. The army defeated the attackers but suffered casualties, the sources said. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says disaster response is too costly for the state. Threat of ISIS attack on schools in Trinidad making the rounds. And Islamic State IS group hits back as Iraqi army moves into Fallujah. The news is once again brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.